So, today is our last sermon in the series on kingdom relationships. And I'm going to talk about work. And when I was preparing this, I remembered about Jesus saying, a worker is worth their hire. He said this when he sent out the 70 to preach the gospel. He told them to stay where they were well received and eat what they were given, to accept hospitality in response to their bringing the good news. It wasn't exactly the same as saying workers today should be paid a good wage that they can live on, but I think it stands the test of time and could be applicable. Much of Jesus' message was about caring for those who were poor, powerless and discarded. This is familiar ground. So if we are a boss or a business owner, we should pay people proper wages and give them the pensions, sick pay and holidays to which they are entitled. My work for decades as a trade unionist made me well aware that people don't always do this. And my more recent experience as a mother of three hard-working grown-up sons appalls me. The way they have been exploited and abused at work should not have been a surprise to me, but it still makes me angry. If we are a Jesus follower and a boss, we should pay attention to what he said about such matters. Then there is the other side of the coin, how we work for our bosses. I have the experience of being a manager in my paid work. And some people would leave the phone ringing and keep customers waiting while they finished chatting to their colleague. Or they would do all their holiday research and bookings when they were sitting at their work desk. There is something dishonourable about that. Taking the odd call or replying to an urgent personal email is not the same as taking advantage of our boss. We are supposed to work for our wages and provide service or output. I remembered I had heard the scripture from Colossians 3 in my distant memory to justify working honestly and with effort. It said we should labour as to the Lord. We heard it this morning. I think Paul was drawing the reader to the dignity of labour, that tasks need to be done so that people can have food, clothing and shelter, so our babies and older folk can be looked after, and so that we all can be educated. There is an inherent worth in that. And when we do our work with integrity and pride, it is satisfying. But when you are using scriptures, you should look at the passage in the round. What comes before it and after it? What is the overall direction or purpose of the writing? In today's passage from Colossians, we can see that it is all about those who must submit to authority. It seems to be calling for faithful work and obedience from slaves. And it would seem to make that a virtue. But what if that is a survival tip rather than the promotion of inequality and exploitation? At a time when men owned women, children and slaves and could have them punished, sold or killed, perhaps working as if unto the Lord was a safe and sensible thing to do, as well as a source of self-esteem, when esteem of any kind was rare indeed. As well as writing those verses, elsewhere, Paul also urged men to love their wives and not to irritate their children, and to stop threatening their slaves as their own master was watching from heaven. It was a prophetic voice on behalf of equality and dignity for all in barbaric times. It was also the one who said, in the kingdom of God we are all equal. There is no longer male or female, Jew or Gentile, slave or free. I think maybe Jesus was also protecting those without power when he said, turn the other cheek and carry the load for further than you are required to, in Matthew chapter 5. What can sometimes be read as a doormat's charter to put up with bad treatment for virtue's sake might simply have been a guide to staying alive. Then we have the curious story of the workers in the vineyard from today's gospel reading. If you imagine those listening to Jesus, you can imagine their surprise, their shock, and their outrage. They heard that those who were brought late to the work field and only worked for 1 hour got the same wages as those who were brought from the marketplace to work early in the morning and worked all day. There is a modern application with our benefits system. There is outrage whipped up by groups like Reform and Restore. They exaggerate the very meagre cash asylum seekers get and make out they are getting the cream while native Britons get the dregs from social housing and welfare benefits. Factually untrue, but repeated so often that people believe it. And then we have the so-called poverty porn of TV series like Benefit Street, which allow us to judge people on benefits as being unworthy. When they were seen on that telly programme to commit crime, we could feel smug that we were right all along about not giving them even air to breathe. Jesus' parable shows us that some people were not chosen to work, even though they are willing. Maybe the people standing in the square waiting for work were too black, or too foreign, or too old, or had a disability. Our workplaces today are similarly discriminatory. As well as giving the 1 hour workers a chance to work after all, and thus giving them dignity and respect, the figure representing Father God gives them what they need to have food and shelter and look after their families. When we judge people for not working and being apparently lazy, do we ask if maybe our systems of work and benefits have made them anxious? Do they fill in many, many job forms and still remain unchosen and rejected? Do they make themselves available for shifts, but be given so little notice when they are asked to work that they can't go due to caring for children or other relatives? Did they have the sort of upbringing where they were helped with their homework and encouraged to have ambitious hopes and dreams? Could their family afford a computer and the Wi-Fi bills to keep it going? Our social contract when I entered the job market meant that if you worked full-time on minimum wage, you would be housed in social housing and get enough cash to feed and clothe yourselves and look after your kids and have enough for fish and chips on a Friday, a single from Woolworths on a Saturday, and a week at Steady in a caravan once a year. If you got promoted, you could save and buy your own house. And everyone got free NHS care, including a dentist and contraception. And you got a grant and maintenance money to go to uni without paying it back. All this has changed. My kids have no hope of their own home. They sometimes boomerang back to living with me. Students have to take out loans now and get ripped off over the interest. The rat race is based upon the misuse of power and greed and exploitation, and upon dishonest politics and social media propaganda. But the story from Jesus is not like that. Everyone gets what they need. Everyone is valuable because God made them and loves them. They aren't told to pull themselves up by their bootstraps when they can't even afford boots. So this sermon is not just telling bosses don't enslave and workers don't loaf about. It's about what is work for. How would Jesus have us design our systems so everyone gives their talent to benefit society? Everyone is valued, and everyone has enough for a comfortable and joy-filled life. Being really kind to people at work, or to those who have no work, is a way of loving our neighbour. Whether we are a boss or at the bottom of the pay scale. Helping people to grow skills and confidence. Stopping the judgmental thought that pops into our head from coming out of our mouth. And let's not forget about work at home. How can we share work at home without taking advantage of those with whom we live? If you don't feel like you have anything to give in the world of work, volunteering or family, then you need some encouraging conversation to help you think about who you are and what you are worth. We have some wise, kind people here at Brussies. Why not have a chat about that over coffee? Even before Jesus did any ministry work, God said, "This is my son, I love him and I'm really pleased with him." When we are thinking about eternal life, rather than just our 70, it's worth some thought. Amen.